This is a podcast from the AHRC ICT Methods Network at www.methodsnetwork.ac.uk.
What I'd like to do in this presentation is focus on two issues that for me over the last 5-10 years have been of interest. First of all, as has already been mentioned in both of the previous presentation, context matters. In other words, if all we're doing is looking at lists of words taken out of context, sometimes that's not overly insightful. So what I'd like to do is talk about context, two different types of context in the Saussurean notion. First of all, syntagmatic context, looking at a word, being able to look at a word, for example, in its syntactic context. That any search engine, any tool that we use to look at large corpora should be able to do that pretty painlessly. Secondly, paradigmatic context. In other words, we ought to be able to compare a given word to other words that could fit in the same slot. So, for example, comparing synonyms. How does the frequency of this word compare to the synonyms? That's the paradigmatic use. Also, ideally, we should be able to look at context in terms of register or genre. Rather than looking at just an entire corpus, we ought to be able to look at, for example, spoken versus academic versus newspapers versus fiction. And it would also be nice to be able to look at frequency in its historical context. The second issue that I'd like to look at is how the architecture that we create to examine different corpora can either help or hinder the ability to look at all these different types of context. I think back to a conference I went to 3 or 4 years ago that dealt with corpus annotation, and there are a number of presentations that were kind of pie-in-the-sky investigations of how you could examine frequency and so on in corpora. But they were all designed around corpora that were 100,000, 200,000 words in size. And it was fairly clear to me that from a technical standpoint, these would really start to bog down at about 1 million words. Certainly by 10 million words, there'd be serious problems, and they would probably not be doable at all with 100 million words, which is now becoming a normal size. You know, the British National Corpus, some other corpora that I've created, commonly are 100 million words or larger. So if your architecture bogs down at 1 million words and you say, well, it doesn't really matter because I'm not going to be too concerned about the end user, but the end user is having to wait a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes for the most simple query, in my estimation, that corpus is unusable. And when you look on the horizon and you look at, for example, the Google initiative to digitize 7 million books, we're talking maybe 50, 100 billion words, certainly this whole issue of architecture will take on even more importance. So anyway, it's that issue of context and it's that issue of architecture that for me are important. I'm going to be getting a little bit into the technical side of things, but hopefully not too deep, and I'll give it in the context of what are we trying to achieve here. Most of this I'll be doing via the PowerPoint, but I may actually go over to the web to some of the corpora that I'll be talking about and actually do some queries so that you can see how things work there. 4 or 5 years ago, I created a 100 million word corpus of Spanish that goes from Old Spanish to Modern Spanish, Corpus del Español, still available online. It's for free. This is where I started into this issue of what type of architecture is going to be the best in terms of word frequency. And this was kind of the stage one architecture that I was using. About a year or two ago, year and a half ago, I decided to apply that same architecture to the BNC. And there's a site that you can go to on the web, BYU.edu, which is an alternate interface to the BNC. And I realized that the architecture that I had been using previously really didn't allow me the type of granularity that I wanted. So then I went to architecture number two. And I realized that even that, for certain things, didn't work. So now I'm on a third architecture. And for me, it's kind of like Einstein's search for the grand unified theory that you could, not that I'm Einstein or anything, but wanting to be able to unify all of the different forces. My question ultimately is, is there one architecture that will allow us to look at all of these different types of context simultaneously, and what would that architecture be? Okay, so let me give you a really, really simple example. And again, if we were to go over to the web, you'd see me actually doing this. If we have some time, I'll do that. You go to the interface, you just type in, for example, here we're just looking for words that have the prefix dis and the suffix ment. You just type that in, press search, and in about 20th of a second or so, you get the most frequent occurrences from the BNC, disappointment, disagreement. You click on any one of those, and then you can get the keyword in context down below here. So that's basically how it works. Okay. Now, how can you do simple queries? So here we're just talking about a single word. Okay, we want to see the frequency of a single word or a given suffix, a certain substring, a certain part of speech. Okay, how is this done? So this is stage one of how I used to do this, but I'll be talking about the problems in just a little bit. In order to create this architecture, it's really quite simple. You just go to Wordsmith, use the word list function, create all of the n-grams. Okay, so basically we're looking at the 1, 2, 3 forward units and so on. You import these into a database. So then you'd have a database that would look like this. You would have the word and the frequency for each of these words. This is the SQL query that you run against it to pull out a listing like this. So deep down, all of these frequencies are stored in a relational database, and that ends up being quite important, as we'll see in just a minute. Okay, this idea that they are in a very, very structured format in a relational database. So anyway, at a single word unit, you would just have a table with words, frequencies, and you just run simple SQL queries against that. However, you can also create tables with 2, 3, 4, 5 word sequences. Okay, and in this case, you could just run a query against that. So this person has put in break the noun. What are the most common phrases? So here we're talking at the syntagmatic level, the word in its context. Okay, words to the left, words to the right, and so on. So break the noun, again, search, and in just about half a second, you'll get the 300 or 400 different nouns that occur in this context in the BNC. The most common being break the law, break the news, break the deadlock, and so on. How is this created? Same type of thing, just using an n-grams program in Wordsmith or KFNgrams from Bill Fletcher. Just create a list of all of the 3-word strings. And if you want to go ahead and include part of speech or limitization in that and then later break those down into different columns of the relational database, you can do that as well. But in this case, then, we have a relational database that would have, this is for the 3-grams, the trigrams. The word, it's lemma, part of speech. Second word, lemma, part of speech. Third word, lemma, part of speech, and the frequency of each of those. So when I come in and look for break the law, this is what I'm looking at, these highlighted columns here. And again, this is fast, less than half a second for 100 million words, and my guess would be that for 1 billion words, it really wouldn't be much more than a second. Now, one of the nice things about having this in a relational database is that it allows you to compare nicely, I think, words in their paradigmatic context. For example, words that occur in one slot versus other words that could occur in the same slot. So, for example, via the interface, what you could do is you could type in curly brackets, sheer, utter, absolute, close curly brackets, followed by noun. What the script does in this case is that it runs 3 separate queries. It looks for sheer, followed by noun, utter, followed by noun, and absolute, followed by noun. And you can have up to 5 words here. And then it tells you which are the nouns that occur with word 1, with word 2, and with word 3, but that don't occur with the others. So for example, in the BNC, 100 million words, you have 60 cases of sheer weight, sheer force, sheer luck. But there's no cases of utter luck or absolute luck. there's 19 cases of utter confusion, but no cases of sheer confusion or absolute confusion. So what this allows you to do then is to compare any group of related words, whether or not they're synonyms, antonyms, simply related words, for example, man, woman, okay, and see which words occur with one, which collocates occur with one word, but not with the other. This can be useful, I think, for language learners who are confused about the use of different synonyms. Lots of different uses for this. Again, because the architecture for this is a relational database, and it's in a very structured format, what it allows you to do is use this as one module and connect it to a number of different modules. So, for example, you could have a module composed of WordNet. Most of you, I imagine, are familiar with WordNet. It's 180,000 syn sets, synonym sets, created at Princeton. And it's not just synonyms, it's also hypernyms, hyponyms, holonyms, meronyms, all types of semantic relationships. So what you can do is you could type in a query equals heat, okay, where it's a verb. So we're looking for verbs that are synonyms for heat. So what the script does in this case is it grabs that information, it goes over to WordNet, pulls in the syn sets, all of the words that according to WordNet match the different meanings of heat, and you can select or deselect any of these, press submit, it puts all of those words here into the search form. You press search again, and then you actually see the frequency of each of those. Now, you can actually use that as part of the query. So you could say, for example, I want all of the words that are synonyms of heat followed by the and noun. And once you put that in, so what happens is the script nabs this information, it looks for all of the synonyms of heat, puts that in the first slot, second slot is the, third slot is noun, and again, in fairly short order, second or less, comes back with the matching terms. Heating the milk, inflame the situation, ignite the fire. Now notice that you get spurious examples like wake the baby, because according to WordNet, at least in some sense, wake is a synonym of heat in some context. Okay, so you'll get these spurious examples, but overall I think it does a fairly nice job. Now again, the ability to do this is based on the fact that, again, these are very, very structured databases that we're using that allow us to combine these different modules. And as you combine the modules, what's interesting is that the speed doesn't really suffer any degradation at all. It's almost as fast as if you had just put in heat the noun, even though here we're looking at many, many different synonyms. Another example of this, the integration with WordNet, or really any semantic database that you want, you could say, for example, look for broke, break, breaks. And actually here, although lemmatization is still a little tricky, I need to do more with lemmatization, you could just say break as lemma, followed by one of these possessive pronouns, followed by any word that is part of the body, according to WordNet. So what it'll do is it'll search WordNet, look for all of the words that are meronyms, part of the body, and then it sticks that in as part of the third slot. This is the first slot, second slot, third slot, so then we come back with break her leg, break his neck, broken his neck, and so on. One last example of this is via the interface. If you go to view BYU.edu, you can create customized lists, and these stay stored on the server indefinitely. So you can come back 10 minutes later, 10 months later, and reuse the list that you've created. So here, for example, I've created a list of colors. I've created a list of clothes. And then the syntax is just go find that list of colors, go find that list of clothes, put these two words together, all the bigrams that match that, black dress, blue dress, black trousers, and so on. As you come in here and modify these lists, then obviously, as it does the query, it's going to produce different results. So again, this is due to the very, very structured nature of these n-gram tables, the fact that we're able to do these slot-based queries quite nicely. All right, so it looks like that architecture works nicely, but there's some serious problems with it. The most serious problem is that we've lost all of the contextual information, not paradigmatically, not syntagmatically, but in terms of where do these examples come from in the corpus, what section of the corpus, spoken, fiction, so on. So, for example, we know that breaking the law occurs 106 times, but how many of those occur in spoken? How many of those occur in fiction? Once we create these n-grams tables, we've lost all of that information. And so in the Corpus del Español that I created 4 or 5 years ago, using this architecture, there's no way that you can compare different registers nicely. And for me, that's a serious disadvantage. Now, one way to deal with this is that you could add different columns onto the table. So, for example, you could say that breaking the law, you could have a column here for spoken, another column for fiction, another column for academic, and have the frequencies in here and use those as part of the query. That works nicely if you have just a few registers, but imagine you have something like the BNC where you have 70 different registers. For each of these n-gram tables, then you're going to have tables with 70 different frequency columns, and that really, really gets to be cumbersome. So just for an example from the Corpus del Español, using these frequency columns, you could come in and say, for example, I want to find all of the cases of hard noun, okay, the lemma hard followed by any noun. And in the Corpus del Español, there are columns for the frequency in each of the centuries from the 1200s through the 1900s, three different registers from the 1900s. So you could come in and say, for example, show me all of the phrases of hard noun that occur in the 1900s but don't occur in the 1800s, or occur 5 times or more in spoken Spanish but less than 1 time in academic Spanish, for example. And it will do that nicely. The problem is, however, once you start getting to 60, 70, 80 different registers, this gets to be a real problem. So this brings me to architecture number 2. And in this architecture is radically different, really, from the other one, in the sense that here, each token gets its own line in the database. So, for example, what we do is we take the BNC. This is the original format from the text files that you'd get. You take this and create a table where on each line you have the word, the part of speech, put this into a database. So now for 100 million words, we have 100 million rows. And so all of the context is still there. Okay, each individual occurrence is used. So this is what the main table would look like. We have the word in the middle, for example, small group of people at work, the part of speech. And then we run an SQL query that takes and puts in 3 words to the left, 3 words to the right to give us a little bit of context. There's also a text identifier here. There's a separate table that has all of the meta information on each of those texts. So now you can do a query, for example, and this is doable quite easily via BYU EDU, where you could say, for example, show me the words, kind of the Z-score listing, of the words that are most highly associated with chair. So asterisk chair, give it to me in terms of percent relevance. So it's using a modified Z-score listing. But in this case, we've said, and look just at fiction. So for those of you that are into SQL, this is deep down under the hood, what the SQL looks like. The important point is that here it's looking at just particular registers, and then it's matching those up with the text identifiers in the n-gram tables. So then you get a listing like this, wicker, work chair, sedan chair, swivel chair, and so on. So another example of this is you could come in and say, I want to look at all of the infinitival verbs, okay, just to make it kind of clean, we'll stay just with infinitives. And I want to look at the most common verbs in academic, politics, law. Okay, so these are classroom discussions on law. So you highlight that as register 1, search, half a second later then you see the most common lexical verbs in law. Actually, this is academic, so these are textbooks, legal textbooks. These are the most common verbs. What you probably want to do in this case, though, is you want to compare it against some type of reference corpus. And so you can do that as well. You can say, look first of all at the frequency of all of the infinitival verbs in law textbooks. Then go and look at the frequency of all of the infinitival verbs in academic texts in general. And then compare those. Where are they relatively more common in legal textbooks? And we come back with sue, disclose, prohibit, plead, authorize. Now, because there's two different queries going on here and some subsequent processing, this takes a little bit more time, probably 2-3 seconds to do this. And then what you can do is you can click on any one of these words. So, for example, I could click here on distribution for plead. So let's say that we're a second language learner and we say, plead. Gee, I wonder how plead is used across different registers. You can click on any one of these words here, and then you'll see a listing like this, where it will show you that plead is the most common in courtroom, then fiction, drama, letters, professional, and so on. And you could scroll down and see the frequency of plead in all 70 registers, and that's quite quick. One thing that I've added on lately is the ability to look not just at tables, but a lot of people are more visually oriented, and a display like this is going to make more sense. So what you could do is you could type in any word, substring, combination of those, part of speech, anything that you want, and very, very quickly see the frequency in the four major registers, spoken, fiction, news, and academic, kind of the Biber, Longman, grammar categorization, as well as non-academic and miscellaneous, which are kind of miscellaneous categories in the BNC. So this tells us that whom, not surprisingly, is the most common in academic. You can click on any one of these columns. So, for example, I could click here on academic, and it would show me the frequency of that particular word or phrase or whatever in each of the micro or sub-registers of the macro register. So what this tells us is that in spoken, for example, let's suppose that we had clicked on that, that whom is most common in sermons and courtroom and parliament, much less in other types of spoken English. Again, you can use this with more complicated queries. So you could say, for example, verb, it, them, him, adverbial particle. And if you're not familiar with all of those tags, there's a drop-down menu here to be able to pull those in. So here we're looking basically for phrasal verbs, separable phrasal verbs. What this tells us, not surprisingly, is it's the most common in spoken, and we find out that it's the most common in sports. We click on sports, we get a table display of the most common phrasal verbs, and then we can see the context for that. All right, so that's architecture number two. Here, each word occurs in context so that we can do some really nice cross-register comparisons. To finish up, though, in the last 3 or 4 minutes, what I want to do is talk about remaining problems that still exist with architecture number two. Notice that with this architecture, although each word gets its own row in the database, we've only got 3 words to the left, 3 words to the right of any given word. So if we want to find, for example, the collocates of a given word, that's fine, as long as the collocates are within this 7-word window. But as we know, for use in looking at collocates, we often want to look at a wider field. This architecture simply will not allow us to do it. We have this strict window of 7 words. So going back to an architecture that really has been around for 15 or 20 different years, there's a third architecture. And in this case, what you do is you have a database with just the word, the part of speech, the offset value for each one of those words. So let's say, for example, that you want to find all of the collocates of kitchen, okay, that are nouns. You'd find the ID, the offset value, and then go in and do subsequent queries where you say, and go look for IDs that are 5 more or 5 less that are nouns. So if you're looking 5 words to the left, 5 words to the right, you're actually doing about 10 different queries serially to find the collocates within this 10-word window. But you can go 10 words to the left, 10 words to the right. Now this works, I think, nicely. So you could put in kitchen, and these are the collocates, 5 words to the left, 5 words to the right from the BNC. If you want to get kind of a Z-score listing, these are the collocates for kitchen, sink, scullery, worktop, cupboards, crockery. The problem with this, however, is that it's a little bit slower than the other. So something like kitchen, for the 100 million words, it's going to take you 5-6 seconds. That's fine. If you start talking a billion words, would you then be talking 50 seconds? And if so, for me, that would be unacceptable. In terms of looking at these collocates, some interesting things you can do here, for example, is you could say, look at all of the collocates of woman or man, or really any synonym or relate set of related words that you want. So this query actually is pretty expensive. It's going to take a good 10, 12 seconds. And these then are the collocates to the left, if I can get my cursor here, for woman, collocates for man, 5 words to the left, 5 words to the right. Kind of sad, actually, how sexist that is, even in the 1990s in English. One last example of this, using collocates as well as the register information, we could look at collocates of a given word in one register versus the collocates in another register. So chair would be a real common example of this. We would look for collocates of chair in fiction, collocates of chair in academic. This is fiction here. Notice the very literal meaning of chair, what I'm sitting on. Here it's the more figurative meaning of chair, the head of a committee and so on. So we chose fiction, academic, chair, and then in just a few seconds we get that. So again, the different architectures that I've talked about allow us to look at words, phrases, substrings, and an entire corpus. We can limit by a subcorpus. So, for example, register historical variation. I didn't talk much about the historical variation here, even though the corpus de l'Espagnol is very much historically oriented. Semantically, comparing different words, integration with other databases, for example, WordNet, customized lists. Collocates, we can look wide range, 10 words to the left, to the right. Comparing related words, polysemy between registers, and then we can get a modified Z-score for all of the types of queries. But the important point is that although via VIEW, BYU, EDU, you can do all of these queries, for some queries you're using one architecture, for other queries you're using a different architecture, the three that I've talked about here, you're not really aware of which of the architectures you're using. As the query comes in, the script kind of parses it, looks at what's going to be the best search strategy, and then uses those tables. So that's all opaque to the end user. But what this means is that we have these competing architectures. We have there's a lot of complexity here. And the question in my mind, could all of these be conflated to one single architecture that would allow us to do all of these things quickly, even with 10 billion word corpora, which I think are quickly coming down the pike? So those are some questions I have. Thank you.